Governor Cargo, distinguished guests and visitors, Governor Rao, and people of Baker East, it is a genuine privilege to be able to share this day with you. Indian history is an important part of our common American heritage, and it is important to non-Indians as well as Indians. Thank you for preserving the richness of your past and the beauty of your lands for all of us. The building of this museum was not an easy task. It is an accomplishment of a people that have a great pride in their past, and at the same time have a dedication to the future and the happiness of themselves and their children. The people of Pictor East had many friends who helped and came and helped on this particular project when they were called upon. Dr. Dick, Maxwell Hahn, Jim Dixon, the Economic Development Administration assisted and also provided a large portion of the funds for the completion of the project. But it is the months of dedicated efforts by the Pictor East people under the very capable leadership of Governor Rao and other federal leaders that have made this project, this museum, a reality. I want to thank you again for allowing us to share this good day with you, Governor.
Thank you, Mr. President. In all phases of contracting and construction, there are people whose services are required. The structure and layout are studied and restudied. We feel that the people from Pictor East were fortunate in having personnel who were well qualified in architectural, contracting, and work supervision. These gentlemen are here with us today. The architect for the building, Mr. Richard Helfert. Mr. Helfert.
Thank you, Mr. Grant. Governor Cargo. Governors from different pueblos. Yes. As so often in life, the finished product is indicative of the individuals involved as well as the cooperation between them. And this is a sterling example, I believe, of this cooperation. The Pictor East people have pushed this project through. Governor Rao, Governor Cimbola, his building committee, and Strom Councilman have all been very instrumental in seeing that this building is what it is. As an architect, I know the client is the one who makes the building. The architect puts together the client's thoughts and thinking and desires. Occasionally, if the client is not off on the right foot, the building does not finish up on the correct foot. We've had wonderful cooperation with the BIA, Jim Dixon, Mr. Friedman, and the Albuquerque office, so many people too numerous to mention. Economic Development Administration, Fort Worth, Mr. Grieve, Langston Smith, and other people. Kid Carson Co-op in Taos has been very cooperative with us in seeing that we have underground utilities here. Jerry Monahan has got to take responsibility for that. Contractor Richard Peck and his superintendent, Joe Padilla, who's here today, did a marvelous job, as I knew they would, on the construction of the project. If you don't have the right contractor, the type of people that really want to do the job right, you don't have the job done properly. And I want to personally extend my appreciation to them.
Mama, don't want my call.
Right, make our job easier because they themselves desire to have a building here that they could be proud of themselves, they could be proud of also. The governor hit on one point, Governor Cargo hit on one point of old wine in a new bottle, which is an extremely interesting point. And I think that we in New Mexico should think about this point more thoroughly. We have a culture here that we are extremely fortunate to have. Our Indian culture, our Pueblos and this sort of thing, who have been here before Columbus Day, our Spanish culture who came here before all the rest of the country. And this culture has been built up through the years. It's a heritage that we have today that we should build upon. Now, too many times we talk about preserving our culture, and preserving, I feel, is a bad word. Preserving indicates that you bottle the product, so to speak, and keep it as it is. I think we should look at our culture and our heritage as a growing thing, and that we build upon this culture and not just stop and start imitating it. This goes as far as architecture is concerned, it goes as far as our living in the state, our direction of the state, we desire the state to go, and this sort of thing. I think we keep this in mind, as I know that the Pickery people have kept in mind this fact, that the whole state of New Mexico will be better off. Thank you very much.
Unfortunately, the contractor, Mr. Richard Pratt, is not here with us today. But one of his hard-working work supervisor for the construction of the building is here with us today. We'd like to have him stand, Mr. Bill Padilla. Pleasure to have one of our friends and advisors to introduce the advisory committee for Pickery's. Some of these people were greatly responsible for today's program. I would like to call on Dr. Maxwell Hahn. Dr. Hahn.
Thank you, Mr. Lopez. Governor Cargo, Governor Real, Governors of the All Indian Pueblo Council, and distinguished guests. I'm only here because the man who should be up here, Dr. Herbert Dick, is that rare specimen, a shrinking violet. Back in the early 60s, Mrs. Hahn and I joined the group that was excavating the ruins up on the hill, became acquainted with Dr. Dick, and it is to Dr. Dick and his excavations that he carried on with the aid of the Fort Berghman Research Center, which sponsored a National Science Foundation grant, and then a grant from the same source through the Adams State College at Alamosa, Colorado, and then topping it all, the grant that came from the Economic Development Administration, plus the hard work of the Pickery's people, their contribution of funds, of land, and of effort made this fine building possible. I wish that we could get Dr. Dick to come forward. I don't think it's enough for him to raise his hand, because he, as much as any person here, is responsible for the building of this museum. And I might tell you that he came here 5 or 6 weeks ago and built the exhibit cases that are in there, and then labored with others on installing the exhibits that you see. Where is Dr. Dick? Where is he hiding?
There he is.
Hey, come on up here. They insist that you come up, Dr. Dick.
Delegates from other pueblos, we are glad that they are here.
on the wish that I could call upon each and every one of you to come up here and say a few words, but our time is limited as any other place is. At this time, I would like to call on Mr. John Reyna. Is Mr. John Reyna still here? We have with us today one of the hardworking gentlemen among the Indian people under the Bureau of Indian Affairs, Area Director, United Tribal Agency, who will introduce our main speaker for today. I would like to call on Mr. Walter O. Olson. Mr. Olson.
Down inside of us, we can know our human background and the sense of history of which we are a part. Reading from a book is no substitute for a museum and the experience it can give us. We all have to have a need of a sense of belonging and of cultural identity. It's an important foundation for our individual development. Today, the American public is tremendously interested knowing more about its Indian heritage. So in a sense, your museum, to preserve your history and to interpret it, is also an inspiration and treasure for all of us to understand our common heritage and to know that we are brothers, or at least cousins. In
the city of Washington, we too value and are very proud of our National Art Gallery in the Smithsonian Institution. There's a rising interest of Americans of all ages in seeing all kinds of museums. 30 years ago, attendance at American museums totaled some 50 million visits a year. That figure has now soared to over 300 million and is rapidly climbing. I understand your museum is also to be a place where arts and craft are displayed and where they may be purchased by those who value them. This is a happy combination. The preservation and continued development of Indian arts and craftsmanship is of concern to our whole country. Through them, the craftsman expresses the very essence of a people in a language that we all understand. Art, craft, and tradition are taken for granted as a core of life among Indian people. There are more practicing craftsmen among the Indian population in America than in any other racial group. We have helped maintain this distinct identity of cultural heritage. Your potters produce objects that are right in the living tribal tradition. All of us, in these days of mass-produced machine projects, find a tremendous appeal in seeing and owning something that's been handicraft and grows out of a rich cultural heritage. I'm told that the craftsmen of your village have long been known for their distinctive pottery and clay, and that over past centuries it's been traded for hundreds of miles. I believe your present-day potters, with this art and craft training center, could look forward to work not only to fulfill a basic spiritual need, but also providing a dependable income. And I hope that many of your young people will pick up and keep this pottery tradition going. The museum and center that you are dedicating today is a symbol of your successful cooperative efforts. You can take pride that something is going on here, that your history and tradition will be preserved and tie in with economic development income for your people. Did your tribal council dream when permission was given to a college professor to start helping reconstruct your history by archaeological investigations that within 8 years the Picarias Pueblo would have a fine museum of its own? This museum is a monument, a challenge, and an opportunity. It's a monument to you Picarias who are non-Indians and who've been working side by side unselfishly. The museum is a challenge to fill its many blank pages of history. It's a challenge to prove that it can be self-supporting, and that will not be easy. It's an opportunity to inspire some of your children here today to become archaeologists like Dr. Dick, or historians, or to train as museum curators and directors. Become your nucleus for a training facility to serve you and your neighbors. You're indeed a fortunate people. You occupy a site picked out many hundreds of years ago for you. It's a site of great beauty. The air is pure and the water is unpolluted. While preserving your identity, you are making progress in adapting to obtain a sound economic base with income that will make you self-sufficient. You have two trout ponds to bring money to the Pueblo, and a great deal of pleasure I was noticing. You have attraction for visitors in your excavated ruins in Kiva. I'm sure you look forward to the time when you will have cabins to rent for hunting and fishing. City Americans are looking for places to vacation where they will not be jammed together with their neighbors. For those of us who live stacked up in air-conditioned glass boxes in the city, your beautiful mountain valley, with its clean, clear air, brings us back into touch with nature and reminds us that we too are animals. Few of you who have not lived in the big cities of America can know how important this is to us. This museum is concrete evidence to me that the Picarias are on the upward road. I don't say that it's an easy climb, but you're on a road to making maximum use of your resources. You are developing new opportunities for yourselves, and when you're well along, your young people won't have to drift off to work in steel mills in the Midwest or unskilled jobs on the West Coast. The opening of this museum, Arts and Craft Training Center, is the first for the Pueblo Indians. I consider this a great step for a proud people to share much of their history through artifacts displayed here with their non-Indian friends. We commend the Economic Development Administration. They cooperated with the Chickarees Pueblo Council in making the funds available for this project. They have been blessed by a great many friends, and they have all been introduced to you today. They worked without pay and without tiring effort. I'd like to share with you something that's given me great pleasure. It was written by Larry Bird, one of the young Pueblo students at Santa Fe School. The quiet, subtle laughter of women as they prepare the meal. The food, hot and steamed, nourishing, served in a pottery bowl. The same color as the people. The glow of the awakening sun as it pours itself into the darkness of mud plastered walls, beginning another day. This is the world of the Pueblo. And now this is a new day. The laughter is still subtle, still quiet. Food is still hot, still humbly accepted and given thanks for. Only the plaster has changed. But the sun is still round, like the pottery, like the kiva, and still the color of the people.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. I would like to say at this time, for the benefit of all those who have and are still working for the Chickarees Indians here, that we appreciate and thank you, and we want for you to do a good job like you have been doing in the past. I can't mention all of your names, but you know who you are. Many of the Indian people of the Southwest and many other reservations are always appreciative when such guests as we have today come visit us from a long distance and to see that our culture is far from vanishing and will stand to exist for quite a while yet. This time I would like to call on Mr. George Duran and his dance group for this afternoon. Mr. Duran. For our third dance, we will have the Kiowa dance. It was not too long ago that we were enemies of the Kiowas to the east. So at this time, we have these little boys dancing for us, the Kiowa dance.
Do you have the other group ready? Thank you.
singer is Ramos Duran.